Good morning. What a blessing this is to look out and to see this building full of God's worshipers. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of our visitors, no matter the reason you're here or where you come from. I know some of you are here from the community. You've been repeat visitors. We're so glad that you're back here with us. And if there's anything that we can do for you, we are a family of God, and that's why we're here, is to take care of each other, to love each other, and to help each other get to heaven. To all of those that are passing through on their way to camp, we welcome you. It's so good to see so many young people. The classes were full in the back. I know the teachers had good classes. We're glad that you're here, and we pray that you have an edifying week. I could not have asked James to pick a better song for the lesson that we were going to do this morning, and we did not communicate with that, so thank you, Brother Dow, for reading my mind. I appreciate that very much. But we are going to take some time to discuss some things that we weren't able to get into detail of a few weeks ago. And we have, for those of you that are visiting, which is probably about half of you this morning, we just concluded a series called More Than a Manger. And we went through for 9 weeks and we discussed who is Jesus. And Jesus asked that question, who do people say that I am? And then we went through and we discussed who Jesus said he was himself in the 7 I Am statements in the book of John. And then last Sunday, Paul concluded our series with the lesson, More Than a Manger, and understanding who Jesus is and who we are worshiping. And this morning, I want us to go back to John 15, and we're going to do some discussions about pruning. And so I'll ask you to open up your Bibles to John 15. While you're getting there, of course, as very evident, the new year is upon us, and with New Year's comes always New Year's resolutions. And usually resolutions often are a result of a dissatisfied life or something that you're dissatisfied with in your life. Things that we want to change, and I'm not knocking on those. But usually it's really difficult to accomplish the things that we set out to do. Last year I had made a commitment that I was going to lose 15 pounds. You'd be good to know that I only have 17 to go. So things are going really well with my resolutions from last year. And the things are, we give up so quickly on the things that we set out to do. And the reason is because they're difficult. You know, if you want to lose 15 pounds, there's things you have to cut out of your life, isn't there? You've got to cut out sugar and soda and treats and all the things that make eating worthwhile in this life to begin with. But regardless of the thing that you want to change, it's difficult. And so people will not follow through, and they'll never see the good and the end result, accomplishing things they never even dreamed of doing because they're not willing to go through and do the hard things and cut the things out of their lives that they need to. This morning, what I'd like to do is we want to talk about pruning some more. And what I want us to ask is not, what do I want to do this year? Not what is it that who I want to be this year, but really what we want to ask is, what does God want me to do? And who does God want me to be this year? Because as we know, our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price, and therefore I am to glorify God with my life. Everything that I have belongs to Him. It is only on loan for Him to use as He wills. And so we have to ask that question, what does God expect of me? And to understand what God expects of me, I need to understand in a way that God is going to have some resolutions for every single one of us. There's going to be things that God is going to prune in our lives, cut out in order that we might bear more fruit and be more like Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Not to rehash everything we discussed, but what we understood when we looked at John 15 was that to bear fruit is not one of the fruits of the Spirit, it's not any of those things, but to bear fruit is to produce Christ in me. And if Christ is living in me, and if I am producing Christ in me, then it will result in, of course, the fruits of the Spirit and all these different things that I am doing. And this year, I need to be able to step back and look at what God desires in my life. God is going to be pruning me and cutting me in order to accomplish His purpose. And it is a hard process. It is a difficult process. But brethren, it is going to be worth it in the end for God to accomplish his work in us, for us to bear the fruit that he has wanted to bear in our lives. So we're going to look at 3 points this morning. We're going to understand that we are pruned out of love. We're going to understand that we are pruned for our good. And then finally, we're going to understand that we are pruned to bear fruit, and we'll talk about that again. I'd like you to also open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and keep your thumbs in both John 15 and Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be in both this morning. And what I want us to first look at is that we are pruned out of love. Looking again at Jesus' I am statement in John 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And what we're focusing on this morning is this next statement. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. This idea of pruning or cutting away, and we painted this picture last time that there is different foliage and flowers and things that grow on the branches other than the fruit that do not produce fruit. And so the vine dresser sees these and knows that they must be cut away for the plant to thrive and survive and bear more fruit. And what we're going to recognize is this concept of pruning is very similar to other things we read in the scriptures, such as discipline. And then that's where Hebrews 12 comes into play. And you're going to see an exact parallel between what the writer in Hebrews 12 has to say and what we already studied and read about in John 15. That God's discipline is going to bring about fruit in our lives. And I want us to begin by recognizing the fact that we are pruned or disciplined because God loves us. Quoting the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, in chapter 3, the Hebrew writer begins in verse 5 and says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Do not be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And Solomon actually there is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. And now continuing on, the writer continues and says in verse 7, for it is for discipline that you have endured. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. When we recognize this fact, and we see it elsewhere, the Lord speaks in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, that the one whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and reproves. The vine dresser, because he loves the branch, is going to prune the branch, and he's going to cut things out of its life. And in the same way, God is going to discipline and prune us because he loves us, just like a parent disciplines their own children and brings them up in that sense. You would argue, all of us here, that if a child is left to run and do whatever he pleases, that that parent truly actually does not love their children. Because if they loved their children, they would discipline them and prune them in such a way that would hopefully cause them to grow up, as it said, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to love God, to know him. The difficulty with this is we need to put ourselves in the perspective of how the Hebrew writes about us as children. Because as children, does discipline ever feel like your parents are actually loving you in that moment? See, pruning does not leave one feeling loved, even though we know that it is God's love that motivates him to do this in our lives and to discipline us. It is difficult to feel in the moment like it is loving. Because God, in cutting away that which doesn't bear fruit and will not make us more holy in our lives, is a form of spiritual surgery, so to speak, and it's going to hurt. To look in the scriptures and to examine ourselves like a mirror, like James writes about, and recognize the ways in which God is trying to prune me in my life is difficult. And much like a child, people approach God with the same type of attitude and saying, if you loved me, then you would let me do whatever it is I wanted to do. I've sat across the table from young people before, and they didn't say it in those terms, but bottom line, what they were saying was, I disagree with my parents, and they're trying to make me do this, and so I'm just so angry with them and frustrated with them. And what they were communicating was, how could they possibly do this to me or discipline me in this way? If they loved me, they'd just let me do what it is I wanted to do. And people do that all the time. They say, if God loves me, then God wants me to be happy. Let me say this with as much boldness as I possibly can. Brethren, God loves you and wants you to be holy. God is not interested in you fulfilling your temporal, physical desires that will lead you down a road that will separate you from Him for all eternity. Because God loves you, God wants to prune you and cut out the things that will not lead you to holiness and will not lead you to bear fruit in your life, because He wants you to live with Him. He wants to give you life. And if God loves me, then I must recognize and accept His discipline and pruning in my life and not merely walk away thinking God is just some kind of an individual who agrees with everything that I want to do. No, brethren, I must side with the Lord. And the most unloving thing that God could possibly do is leave us to direct our own steps and leave us to our own devices. You would look at a vine dresser that let his branches grow up and continue to grow all sorts of things that would take over the vine and cause it not to produce fruit. And you'd look at that vine dresser and say, don't you care for your plant? Don't you care for your harvest? Would you not prune this? And in the same way, we must look to God and understand the most unloving thing God can do is let us go and to allow the foliage to flourish that keeps us from bearing fruit. So I must embrace this in humility. I must recognize that this is an act of love from God and that I am actually being treated as a son or a daughter of God. But brethren, if you want to be treated as a son or daughter of God, buckle up. Because God has some pruning to do in every single one of our lives. So to speak, He has some resolutions for you because He loves you and He wants you to have the best life possible with Him in all eternity. This life is not all there is. It is the life to come that He is pruning and preparing us for. That leads us to our second point, which is very similar to our first point. And that is that we are pruned for our good. I want you to go back to the text in Hebrews chapter 12. We read in verse 9, besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we might share in His holiness. Because the vine dresser knows what is best for his branches, he will do with them what he knows will keep them healthy, and that is to prune them and to cut them down. It's this great paradox that in order for them to grow up, they must first be cut down. And it is the same way in our lives, in our relationship to Christ as well. And the Hebrew writer returns back to the parent-child analogy. We've got a lot of kids here today, so I'll just speak to them for just a few moments. Kids, your parents are doing the very best job that they can to raise you as they know how. And it is so easy. I remember, I've gotten a lot dumber since I was 18 years old. I knew everything when I was 18. I did. I thought I had it all figured out. And I thought my parents had nothing figured out. And the more I grew, it's amazing, the more how you'll grow. By the time you turn 26, 27, you're going to start recognizing that your parents are a whole lot smarter than you made them out to be when you were 18 and 19. And what they were doing, they're doing for your good. They're doing it for your betterment spiritually. Even though you might not agree, they're doing it for your good. They know what is in your best interest. They're your parents. They love you. I'll give you a case in point in mind. One of the things we fought about all the time growing up at home is my mom had this rule. I'm from Oregon. You can tell I don't sound like a Southerner. And so this is great weather for me. I love this. And on that note, my mom had this rule that if it was less than 50 degrees outside, I had to carry a jacket with me. And as a 16-year-old, I thought that was the dumbest rule on the planet. How can you make me carry a jacket around when it's going to be, you know, it's not cold, it's only 48 degrees outside. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops. You guys would be freezing. But the point was, it was for my good. She knows what was best for me. And if I just would shut my mouth and listen to wisdom, I would know, even if I didn't understand it at the time, I needed to just trust and understand that it was for my good. And in the same way, God is going to discipline us and prune us. And even though we might not understand it at the moment, I need to trust and understand that it is for my good. If you look at verse 11, continuing on in the context, this is why we have such difficulty with this point. Because the Hebrew writer clarifies, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. It doesn't make sense to us in the moment. I can look at a passage like Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love Him. And yet I become so nearsighted. God, I just lost my job. How could this possibly be a good thing? I've been looking for work. I can't find work. How is this a good thing in my life? Or for young people, God, I just lost this relationship. This person was everything to me. How could this possibly be a good thing in my life? And we become so nearsighted, we don't see the big picture like God does. I want to give you an illustration for us to understand this point and to bring home some more application. A true friend and mentor of mine, Tommy Peeler, out in Brandon, Florida, came to Salem after my time at FC and did a meeting, and he brought out this illustration that has always stuck in my mind, and he talked about a member of their congregation back in Brandon whose 2.5-year-old son had such a severe ear infection. And I don't know all the details behind what was going on, but they brought him into the doctor's. And the doctor said, what we have to do is go in and manually scrape the eardrum. And if we don't go in and do that, your son is going to go deaf within the next few months. And so he brought him in, and this father laid his son down on the table. And the doctor started to go in, and the pain was immense, and the father had to lay down on top his son, his 2.5-year-old boy, and hold him still as he's screaming, Dad, Dad, help me. Can you imagine being that parent? Can you imagine holding him down as he's screaming to you, help me, help me? See, that 2.5-year-old, he has no understanding of what's taking place. And in his moment, in his perspective, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to him in his entire life. And if his father loved him, then his father would stop the pain and would keep this from happening. But what the son didn't know was that this was for his good. And the father, as much as it pained him, was going to hold him down because it was going to bring about a fruit later on. We're like that child. We might not understand, but God just might be pruning us to bring about a fruit in my life that I never saw before. Perhaps that job that I lost was leading me away from my family. Or perhaps He's teaching me in that moment, I have been struggling with a deeper issue of trust in Him that God will provide, and through doing this, God is pruning me to learn that He is going to take care of me. And that relationship that you lost, perhaps that relationship was leading me away from God and it was becoming an idol in my life, and God is pruning you to demonstrate that God has to be enough and that God must come first. Whatever it is in our lives, though it might not seem good at the time, though it's painful now, we need to recognize the truth behind the rest of this statement, but later, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Isaiah puts it this way in Isaiah 64. He says, "We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." The question I have to ask myself is, am I allowing God to work like this in my life? We sing a song like that, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." When I sing that, brethren, do I believe that? Do I recognize that God is molding me in my life? And though I might not know exactly what's going on right now, I have to recognize God knows what is best for my life. I am not to trust in my own understanding, as we read in Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6, but I am to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And when I acknowledge Him, that's when He's going to start directing my paths. And that is a great lead into our last point. We must pray and say, "God, cut me down." Because when He does so, and when we allow His pruning in our lives, that's when we're going to begin to see the fruit in our lives. We discussed this point a lot a few weeks ago, but let's revisit just a few things. Again, not to rehash, but to produce fruit is to produce Christ in us. And it's the same thing we read at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 there. That though it is painful in the moment, it later yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. But I want us to consider this text that's up on your screen. I want you to look at verse 8 in your Bibles of John 15. Because we're not just told to bear fruit, we're told to bear much fruit. And in John 15, Jesus says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall be my disciples." What does Jesus mean by much fruit? I want us to recognize the context of who Jesus is talking about here. When you go back to verse 2 of John 15, this is a branch that is already producing fruit. The reason that the branch is pruned is twofold. One is to keep it from choking the fruit that already exists. The things that you are already doing in producing Christ in you, already present in your life. But the second reason for pruning is very specific in the text. That He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. The fruit of a Christian ought to always be increasing and growing in our lives to produce different fruits, different gifts, so to speak. And sometimes we can view ourselves as kind of a one-trick pony or a one-hit wonder. Or you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We have all these expressions to say the same thing. Everyone's good at one thing. And sometimes that's how I can view myself spiritually. This is my gift before God. And with good stewardship, we cultivate it and we work on it, and that fruit continues to grow and grow and grow, and that's good. But brethren, it's not good if it's also to the neglect of producing more fruit as well. We look at passages like Romans chapter 12. Go ahead and turn over there for just a moment, if you will. That is a paraphrase. That is not what the text actually states. This is what the text states, beginning in verse 4. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us then use them, if prophecy in proportion to faith, if service in serving, to the one who teaches in his teaching, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation, to the one who contributes in his generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, to the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." There is something to be said that there is something that is going to come natural to you. something that you're going to be known for. If I were just to say some of these words, and you probably had people pop up in your mind as you read through this list. When you read teacher, someone probably popped up in your mind, someone that has helped you and benefited you as the fruit they have produced as a teacher. When you saw generosity, someone probably popped up in your mind as well. When you saw cheerfulness, the same thing. But brethren, we must not mistake this to be saying that you produce that one fruit and then you're good. What Christ is doing in pruning in our lives is preparing us to bear that fruit and then step over and make some more. Just because God has blessed me monetarily and I can be generous doesn't mean He doesn't also expect me to be hospitable and to teach when I can. See, we're not just one-trick ponies. As a body, we work together, but we all must be producing new and different fruits in our lives. That's Peter's point in 2 Peter chapter 1, that if these qualities are yours and increasing, then they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must not just bear the same fruit over and over again, but through the pruning in our lives, perhaps God is preparing me to do things I never, ever dreamed of doing before in my life. You might not have ever thought that you would be a preacher or a teacher. I'm going to just use someone and embarrass him for just a moment as a good example of that. I was shocked after Cody Dameron's lesson because what he had told me beforehand was he has a tremendous fear of public speaking. You would have never got that from his lesson. And I understood looking back how God pruned him and prepared him, and he told me this story to where now he's able to get up and to speak with such eloquence and such passion as he did just a few Sunday nights ago. Brethren, you might have in your mind, I'm never going to do something like that. And I've learned something in my life. If you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. Because He's got something else in mind for you. I must be open to saying, not, this is what I'm willing to do for you, Lord. But I must be saying, I'm willing. And leave it there. Whatever God has called me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Even if it's something I never thought I could do before, I'm going to allow God to prune me and prepare that fruit in my life more than ever before. And so the question is left for us this morning. Is as you look forward to this new year, have you thought about that? What new fruit are you going to bear for Jesus Christ? What fruit is going to grow alongside of the things that you have already been growing for His kingdom? That's only going to happen if I embrace the pruning and discipline of the Lord and when I allow Him to work in my life. Because just like resolutions, you cannot give up. It's not going to be an easy process. It's not going to be a quick process. God is going to call for you to make changes in your life, to cut out things in your life, to change the way you even think about things at their core in order to put you to work. But if I'm willing to do that, if I'm willing to embrace God's discipline in my life, if I'm willing to allow Him to prune me in such a way that I allow myself to be molded by Him. I don't call to Him and tell Him what I'm going to do. I let Him do that for me. Then what could God accomplish in this congregation? What could God accomplish in your respective groups as you go back home? Be willing to humble yourself before God. He will exalt you. He will bring you up. He will use you in ways as a vessel of honor in His kingdom, and maybe in ways you never thought of before. But it starts this morning. It starts right now with a penitent heart towards God and saying, God, here I am. Send me. Will we respond like that? And will you respond right now to the gospel of Jesus Christ? There is nothing more important at all than your salvation. And Jesus Christ loves you so much. He died for you. He died to give you the hope of eternal life. And if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no better time than right now. Believe in Him as the Son of God. Confess Him as your Lord. Enthrone Him on your heart through repentance and burial and baptism. You will arise to walk in newness of life, being forgiven all of your sins and being placed in the body of Christ. You'll become His child, His son, His daughter. You can do that right now. Some of you, though, might be what we discussed a few weeks ago. You might look at your life and realize that God has been trying to reach out to you and you're not bearing any fruit. You're dead in your faith. This is an opportunity to ask for the prayers of your brethren, to make that known, to turn around this morning. Or if you recognize that God's pruning you in your life and you need help with that, you need prayers, this is an opportunity to ask for that as well. We are a family of God and we're here to take care of one another. If you have any need, make it known now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.